The disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. We are members of his sampradaya. On the empowerment and order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami established the modern system of Krishna consciousness. It is already established in the Shastra that the Yuga Dharma, the basic method for practicing Krishna consciousness in the modern age, is Nama Sankirtana. That was told 5,000 years ago in the Bhagavatam. Even other Puranas also discussed that. So that didn't need to be established, it already was established. But the practical implementation, that remained to be put in place by the Yuga Dharma Avatara, Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught Abani Acharya by his own behavior how to worship Krishna by Nam Sankirtana. But he didn't write books. As far as we know, he didn't give anybody initiation. He left this for his disciples and his prime literary disciple to write books was Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, that was his main service. He also traveled around Vraja, maybe not as much as his brother Sanatana Goswami. He also certainly set a perfect example of his own bhajan. But his most important contribution and what he focused his attention on was writing literatures to establish the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, his life, you already know, you've heard it so many times. I don't have to spend time telling his life story. But he appeared in this world with the other Goswamis to carry out the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to establish that mission so that it will be carried out in this world. Therefore, he has the title Prabhupada. He's direct representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamoyam Tadati Swapadantikam. When will he, Sri Rupa Goswami, give me some place at the edge of his feet? When will he allow me to engage in some insignificant way in serving his mission? He has stapitam, has it been established in this world by him? Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam, the inner desire of the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya had many faithful followers, hundreds of pure devotees, eternal associates, who have actually come from the spiritual world to join his pastimes. But among them, only few actually understood the inner intentions and desires of the Lord. It is said, I don't know who says, but it is said that Sarup Damodar understood more than anyone else the inner purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after him, Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, and then Raghunath Das Goswami. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami was specially qualified, even among all the associates of Mahaprabhu, to understand what his inner purpose was. So therefore, he's the proper person to establish it, to tell the world what Lord Chaitanya wants, because he knows what Lord Chaitanya wants. Therefore, that is Prabhupada, the rare soul who knows the inner intention of the Lord and can tell everybody else what it is. He is the Jagadguru, Prabhupada. So Rupa Goswami is the original Prabhupada. And we're all just trying to follow a little bit in his footsteps. That should be the purpose of our life, to become faithful servants of Sri Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll read the verse, which is what? 34? Okay. Sarva Shastra Dipyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Bhagavata Pro Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dwam Todita Ditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshakshadayate Tada Sarva Sevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume Marika Bandho Matsangin Madguro Mad Mahadana Manistaraka Mad Bhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu Sadu Tadayi Adini Chochatakara Anamuncha kadachin maam Ritkantayok spura Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Tatak pavayaso gopas Tok ashlesha sunirvita Trichtrad shanair apagatas Tadanusmit Yudashwava Tata Pravayaso Gopas Tokashlesha Sunirvita Trichrad Shanayirapagatas Tadanusmit Yudashwava Pravayasaha, elderly, Gopaha, cowherd men, Toka Ashlesha Sunirvita, became overjoyed by embracing their sons. Krishrad. With difficulty, Shanahi, gradually, Apagata, ceased from that embracing and returned to the forest. Tat Anusmiti Udashvavaha, as they remembered their sons, tears began to roll down from their eyes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the elderly cowherd men, having obtained great feeling from embracing their sons, gradually and with great difficulty and reluctance, ceased embracing them and returned to the forest. But as the men remembered their sons, tears began to roll down from their eyes. Purport. In the beginning, the cowherd men were angry that the cows were being attracted by the calves. But when the men came down from the hill, they themselves were attracted by their sons, and therefore the men embraced them. To embrace one's son and smell his head are symptoms of affection. Hare Krishna. Just give me one second. The son, the boys and calves are still Krishna, right? So not only the mothers, but also the fathers are experiencing this transcendental ecstasy of Vatsalya Rasa. People are so enamored by their children in this world. For the sake of their children, they undergo so much trouble. And they're so proud of their children. They think their children are divine. This is all foolishness. This is the way that Maya bewilders everybody. With these little lumps of flesh that you think is your child, produced from yourself, and that this child will perpetuate your good name in the future. This is the grossest delusion. People who are like that are the most bewildered, the most useless. A person who is so attached to children, to family, to property, to position, he's totally useless for all spiritual purposes. He's wasting his human life, living like an animal. So, when the Brijvasis are experiencing something that looks similar, with Krishna as the focus, we cannot think that it's at all the same thing. Just like it's very hard, even for us, to understand the Madhurya Rasa. At least those of us who still have some sex agitation. We want to enjoy with the opposite sex. And therefore we feel a natural jealousy. Why does Krishna get all the girls? We may not dare to think that. But that's there in the conditioned soul. That envy. Because we need to be the enjoyer. And we can't let Krishna be the enjoyer. So that also occurs even on the platform of Vatsalya Rasa. Anyone who's too much a material parent can't let Krishna be the transcendental child. Because you need to be the father. Well, Krishna's not going to be your son as long as you have that attitude. He's not going to be anything for you as long as you're a materialist. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, that there are two kinds of persons who cannot be devotees of Krishna. One is the Mayavad, impersonalist, and the other is the one who is simply too materialistic. Of course, you can argue over where to draw the line, who is too materialistic. But there's a limit. You have to let Krishna be the enjoyer. The Brijbasis, these men, these devotees in the body of what Prabhupada calls elderly cowherd men, they're probably in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, but they're elderly cowherd men, not the little boys. The love they have for Krishna is completely selfless. And the ecstasy that they feel is nothing like the mundane attraction of a parent for the child in the material world. The material thing is a perverted, cheap imitation. A plastic pearl is a pearl in name. And it may serve a function. You can wear it as costume jewelry.
But it's not a real pearl. It doesn't have the proper qualities of a pearl. And one who requires an actual pearl should not be satisfied with the piece of plastic. Others can be satisfied with the plastic, that's all they can afford. So, okay, for the materialists, let them have their children and their businesses and their big positions in the material world. Let them play like little children. But this is not real life. The real life is what we're reading about here. Excuse me a second. Try not to choke this thing. And it's a life of such pleasure. Sunirvita. They're filled with delight. They're fully satisfied. They don't have a care in the world. Nothing is missing in their lives. Isn't that what everybody wants? And here it is. If you can, join these pastimes. If you can become a Vrijbasi, that's the life. And even if you can't, at least become their follower. At least become an admirer of the Vrijbasis. At least that, and then your life is useful. Otherwise, we're wasting the human form of life. If we cannot even develop proper admiration for the Vrijbasis. The Sri Sampradaya, even before the appearance of Ramanuja, was well developed by the Alwars, the devotional poets who wrote wonderful poetry in the Tamil language. Devotional poetry. But the Sri Sampradaya are presenting the mood of Vaikuntha. This is Vaikuntha Bhakti. And the Alwars represent that mood. That's what they're expressing. But we read in the poetry of the Alwars glorification of Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis. In fact, the Alwar sometimes assumes the mood of a gopi singing her song. But the same Alwar on the very next page is now in the mood of Hanuman singing about Lord Ramachandra. Isn't this Rasa Bhas? He's jumping from being a gopi on one page to being Hanuman on the next. Not really, it's not wrong, because the experience that the Alwars, that the Vaikuntha Bhaktas have of the devotion of Braja is secondhand. They're not actually participants in the pastimes of Vrindavan. They're admirers, and therefore they may imitate the mood and write some poetry. This is vicarious, secondhand. That is also glorious. God forbid we could do so good and write poetry emulating the mood of the devotees of Vrindavan, actually have real admiration for them. We want the best thing. I got to be a Manjari, you know, and I need a piece of paper that says I'm a Manjari. And I need to, you know, sit in Radha Kund and prove to the whole world I'm a Manjari. Well, that's okay, but that's, you know, you can't expect that so easily. That you can attain such an elevated state with so little endeavor. At least we should aspire to become admirers of these great devotees, the gopis, and even in the Madhurya Rasa of the cowherd men and women of Raja, who could have Krishna as their son. Look at great devotees like Uddhava and Narada. Uddhava is praying. Lord Brahma also, both of them pray. That let me just become a bush or a blade of grass in Vrindavan Dham. And let the great devotees the gopis and others step on my head. That will be the perfection of life for me. So Uddhava, although he's very much an admirer of the gopis, among all the Gopi fan club, he's the president of the Gopi fan club, Uddhava. But he did not try to enter the circle of the gopis and become one himself. He didn't have any ambition for that. He didn't consider himself fit for that. Rather, he prayed, "Let me live on the outskirts. Let me be a plant and let them step on my head." And so Uddhava is living perpetually in Kusuma Sarovara, among the bushes. He's living 1.5 kilometers outside of Radhakunda. So if such a great devotee, Krishna's dear friend and advisor, who's considered the greatest of all the devotees in Dwarka, and who lives eternally in Vrindavan, if he is not daring to try to directly become a gopi, maybe we shouldn't be so audacious. If such a thing is ever granted to us, that's our great fortune, but we should not presume that we're the best, or that we're fit. We should just try to become servant of the servant, so many times removed. And that'll be the perfection of our life. Hare Krishna. We're going to stop a little early today because it's already breakfast time. We're going to have breakfast 10 minutes early. So are there any questions or comments? Yes. Please. Well, okay, but today we should have breakfast at 8:45. And then we can, you know, you can go on for 5 minutes, but we should stop at 8:45. It's supposed to be served out at 8:45, just today. Okay? Yeah, please. Respond to that by citing the authority of Sri Rupa Goswami. We should look carefully and see whether such opinions are supported by what is taught in the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. And we'll find, I think, that it's not. Or if Bhaktivinoda Sindhu is too big a book, then just look at the Upadeshamrita, 11 shlokas, where Rupa Goswami explains the qualification for entering. What's the goal? Verses 10 and 11 is aiming at entrance into Sri Radhakunda and becoming an eternal resident there. But in all the previous shlokas, he's describing how to become qualified for that. And it very much requires following rules and regulations, accepting the authority of spiritual master, purifying oneself of all contamination. We should not dare, even in the name of Harinam Sankirtan given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should not dare to barge in on Krishna's intimate pastimes without becoming 100% purified first of all lust, envy, and greed. Tatvat lolyam ekalam mulyam. Or in the definition of the qualification for prem for Raganuga Bhakti is loba, the adhikar for beginning the practice of Raganuga sadhana is loba. But what does that lobha mean? That's open to interpretation. Although we have the commentaries of Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, they explain, Prabhupada further explains, what does that lobha mean? It's not material greed. Now, there are plenty of greedy people around, including in the Holy Dham. Plenty. Go to Vrindavan City, you'll find plenty of greedy people. But that's not the qualification for Raghunuga Bhakti, that you try to make as much money as you can. No, no, that's a different idea of lobha. And that lobha is not a cheap thing. You have to have real, intense desire to enter this pure devotional service. And the symptom of it that Prabhupada points out, this is Prabhupada's opinion, that you have to be completely free from sex desire. Then that shows that you're fit, that you have lobha. No more lust. Then you can talk about lobha. So those who are still agitated to enjoy sex, they're not ready to take up permanent residence in Vrindavan. We may get a tourist visa and be allowed to stay here, but we could get kicked out at any time. Our residence here is tentative. You want to have a permanent entry visa, then you have to get free from material desires. That is there in the textbooks of Rupa Goswami. Okay? Yeah, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah. I'm sorry, could I ask, are you talking about devotees or non-devotees? Devotees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like some couples, you know, they didn't want to have children, and then it was already used that, and they say that, okay, children, this is no more important for them, they don't want to have children. But then once they have someone, they actually got a Maharaj with them, and he met one of some couples, and he started preaching to them, that actually, if you're married, you should
Well, you got to be honest with them. We would be cheating them if we told them it's all right. You don't have to condemn them to eternal hell. You know, we're not, you know, that severe. They can be saved, but they're going to have to rectify themselves to actually get saved. They're in a fallen condition, and they should know it. They should be told. It would be cheating them not to tell them that what they're doing is all right. To indulge in heterosexual or
homosexual indulgence is gratification. Where it is, it's the purpose of having children, and the homosexual is the purpose of having children.
We don't come down to that level of mundane standards. To be fair and honest to them, we have to tell them the truth. We can tell them politely and in a very friendly and loving way, but we have to inform them that what they're doing is wrong. Especially if they're initiated devotees, it's wrong. Okay? Well, are you talking about initiated devotees or those who are not initiated? It's two different things. For initiated devotees, you have to tell them you took a vow and you should come back to the standard of observing that vow. You can say that as nicely as you can, but that's what they have to hear. You know, okay, have children and raise them according to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Stop breaking the rules. If they're initiated, they took that vow. If they're not initiated, they can be given more leeway.
how you tell them and how you handle them, that can be done very nicely, but this is what has to be told. Yeah?
I think the point is different than taking it because...
Yes?
I mean, in the West, the West is good,
Well, it's becoming like, I mean, the Westerns are not all completely animals. Some of them have affection for their children, some affection, they're not that bad. And the Indians aren't all that great. You know, the new generation of young people, they're also starting to think like Westerners. They want to enjoy without the responsibilities.
I mean, I grew up without any love, you know, my family members just work, earn the love. I mean,
yeah, but at least your parents, although they did it begrudgingly, they accepted the responsibility.
Wait, but we don't have this type of entanglement.
Yes?
Bound by love with our parents. You're trying to run away from
them. Yeah, because there's no Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but it's no affection, no material affection. It's not our problem.
Well, the religion is supposed to teach you how to be a civilized human being, how to accept marriage as a sacrament. So they're supposed to have some religion. I guess the Soviet Union undermined that. But, if you have religion in your life, if you fear God, then you're going to accept marriage as a sacrament, as a duty to God. Even outside of India, people are supposed to be a little civilized. Yes, ma'am?
I guess there could be generalization, this case sometimes. If you take this fact, if you have initiated devotees, have or not have children in their family, as a sign of their informal or
equal. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it was sinful to not have children. If they're busy serving, they may not have any children. But I meant don't break the regular principles. Don't have sex without having children. That's what I meant. But if they maintain celibacy and don't have any children, from the mundane point of view, that's a failure. But from the transcendental point of view, it's tolerated. If they're serving a higher purpose, okay, other people can have children. There's enough children anyway. How about discourage the... Well, maybe some grasses. Right, but that was a special... An individual case. I don't think he gave a rule that, to cover everybody. No. Special case. Yes, because they were meant... Those two were meant to serve a higher purpose. And for that, you can violate the mundane rule. That if your marriage is a barren, is a failure if you don't have children. Go out and preach and have spiritual children. So traditionally, when a Brahmin Grihastha founded a Gurukula, and he and his wife took the responsibility of taking care of so many children, they would stop having their own children. They would retire from having their own children when they took the responsibility of becoming guru. That was traditional like that.
It seems as Krishna consciousness is growing, there's also so many deviations that come in. And one of those you were saying, like homosexuality?
Yes.
I mean, I've been receiving somehow, I mean, I got them there on the Nelly website. This new organization of
Gay and Lesbian Vaishnav Association. Okay.
And,
yes.
How much we should be adamant in preaching against?
Well, no, adamant probably not good. Because if they're forming a society, they're probably pretty strong about their opinions that it's okay. So just throwing bricks at them is not going to be productive. If you have personal contacts with some of those, if they trust your opinions, then you can very friendly and very well-intentioned try to explain things to them. But just to get into quarrels and preach at them won't be effective. It won't serve any purpose.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's much purpose in you being on that mailing list. I don't know if there's much purpose on you being on that committee account. Yeah. Because what can you do if they're that so strong in their opinions? But if the opinion is against the opinion of our acharyas, we can't accept it. We can't accept it as tolerable. Sorry, your opinion is wrong. And if someone asks you, you know, you have to say, sorry, it's wrong. It's in violation of Prabhupada's opinions. Maybe they don't want to hear from you, okay? So, but if they ask you, you should tell them. Politely. Politely. How can they? Do not follow the four regular principles. If their homosexuality is more than is actually, if they're actually indulging in some sort of sexual activity, then, it's just they're theoretically homosexuals. I don't know what that means, but if they're actually active homosexuals, then they're breaking the regular principle. How can you argue not that they're not? So that's, you know, what's the position of devotees who are not following four regular principles? They're fallen. And it's being unfair and not honest with them to let them think that it's not fallen. It's unfair to them to say it's all that what they're doing is all right. But it's not much use to just throw bricks at them. Okay, you have to deal with it maturely, with compassion. In a spiritual planet, there's no, you know, there's so many different relationships. There's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. One devotee is superior, the other devotee is following that devotee. So that's a guru-disciple relationship. But it can be in any rasa, any situation. In the spiritual world, there's always hierarchy. One devotee is leading, the other devotee is following. So that's a guru-disciple in all situations. In the spiritual world, you've got so many gurus and so many disciples. That's life in the spiritual world. It's not like, okay, I'm going to the spiritual world, like, you know, I don't need any, you know, no more gurus to bother with. No, everybody's going to be your guru in the spiritual world. Everybody is going to be either your guru or your disciple, or godbrother. But you know, anyway, pick any situation in the spiritual world, and you can put the guru and disciple in that situation. Yes, your guru. Yes. Yes. Why should there be a difference? The devotees are exhibiting the Krishna, the eternal relationships when they come to this world, the pure associates of the Lord, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, in their relationships among one another, they're showing the same things that are happening in the spiritual world. There's no difference. For imperfect devotees, for devotees who are just neophytes, they're learning how to become disciples. They don't know how properly to be a disciple yet, but gradually they'll learn. And they'll also enter into these eternal relationships by becoming a perfect disciple. There's no difference. There's no difference. If you're a proper disciple, then you're doing the same thing that is done in the spiritual world. No difference. Just the different external situations are different, but the attitude and the actual relationship is the same. different rasas, but you know, we're not in any rasa right now yet anyway. We haven't developed any rasa. The rasas are individual, but there's a basic principle of serving and following. And that's the same. Whether it's manifest in a pure form in the material world or in the same form in the spiritual world. Same thing. I'm sorry? By serving your spiritual master the proper way, according to the instructions you received from him in the Shastras, then yes, you will enter, not necessarily that relationship, doesn't mean you'll become a gopi with Mother Yashoda, you'll achieve your Swarupa, whatever that is. You'll achieve your spiritual relationship with Krishna. And you'll be continuing to serve your guru in that relationship with Krishna. There is a variety of different relationships, and you have your eternal relationship. That's your Swarupa. You will realize that by serving your guru. Okay? Hare Krishna.